The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Okay, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for the last several years, that when NABE comes out with a report, that's the National Association for Business Economics. Those are folks that use economics in their business. I can't imagine who doesn't anymore, but that's a very large organization stretching all across the United States. They have reports from time to time. They do surveys of their membership. They have reports. I think it's a good representation. I think it's a good snapshot of really what these people think. In fact, there was a couple interesting things that I read in this report that clearly indicate that. So we always like having someone come on, and we've had this gentleman on before. He's really one of our favorite guests. In his day job, he's chief economist for the Associated General Contractors of America. But this morning, he is representing NABE, Mr. Ken Simonson. Ken, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be back with you, Mike.
I'm glad you're with us. All right. So overall, can you give me a grade for the NABE report? I mean, if there is such a thing, is it an A, B, C, or D? I mean, I guess A meaning they're very very optimistic. D meaning they're on a ledge. Where are we? Is the porridge warm, hot, or cold?
Oh, it's still warm, but it's cooling off quite a bit. For instance, the forecast for real gross domestic product, real, you know, being economistic,
right,
for inflation adjusted and gross domestic product, the measure of all goods and services produced in the country net of imports. They're still seeing that as a positive for 2016, but for the third time in a row, they've lowered that forecast. The annual average for 2016 over 2015, they now think is going to come out at just a 1.8% growth rate. So that's really crawling along. Just 3 months ago, the forecast was for 2.2% growth, and back in December, they thought GDP would grow at 2.6% this year. So as I say, that porridge is cooling rapidly.
In fact, not just with NABE, but the last several years, economists tend to come out and have been more optimistic at the beginning of the year, and then at the end of the year, we look back and has not been as robust as anybody thought. Is there a reason why that happens? Why folks are generally so optimistic at year end?
Well, I know personally I'm an incurable optimist, but I don't participate in this particular survey. This is done by 48 professional forecasters who look at a whole range of variables. I think still there are special factors that have cooled things down each year. This year, for instance, we've seen much less consumer response to the low oil prices than most economists had been expecting. So that may have been one thing that has led to the disappointing results in the first quarter. But I think there are signs that things are picking up again. However, I did can't help noting what happened with the employment report for May. So that's another setback.
Yeah, they have been talking about that all weekend, how rough that employment report is. In fact, all eyes are on Mrs. Yellen this morning to see if she mentions that in her speech. And as you were saying, you know, different things seem to affect it. One of the things I thought was really interesting in highlighting the report, which I think you just mentioned, is that there's a very narrow difference between the folks that think that low oil prices have had a positive impact on the economy versus those that they say it's had a negative impact on the economy.
You're right. Generally, economists have thought that low oil prices had to be good for the U.S. because in spite of all the fracking that's been going on, we are still a net importer of energy. And yet, on this survey, it was almost an even split. 39% of the economists thought that low oil prices were a net positive, and only 37% thought they were a net negative for what we call average real GDP growth in 2015, 2016, 2017 combined.
And one of the things that stood out in the report that was kind of somewhat alarming to me, only because corporate earnings seem to have held up this market now for well over a year, that everybody keeps looking at earnings, even though they kind of forget that the expectations keep getting lowered, but they're always trotting out the fact that, you know, 75% of the corporations beat earnings. But you have the panel have a they've got a and of course earnings leads to profit, that they are looking for corporate profits for 2016 to turn downward. And are they looking for a slowdown now? And are you looking for a slowdown in industry across the board?
I would say a temporary one. That you're right. There's a measure of corporate profits called corporate profits after tax without inventory valuation adjustment and corporate capital consumption adjustment. That's quite a mouthful, but basically it ties into the GDP estimates. It may be a little different from what the companies are reporting to stockholders, but it shows that after growing 3.4% last year, they now expect a 2% decline this year and then bouncing back to a 3.9% gain next year. So they have shifted the pattern that they expect on corporate profits, but they do expect both the economy overall and corporate profits to keep growing through 2017. In fact, if you look at the forecast for real GDP growth, they are expecting a modest bounce back in that. I said that the average estimate for this year was for 1.8%. For next year, it's up to 2.3%. Still pretty feeble in historical standards, but at least they do see the economy rebounding a little bit. And similarly, on that oil impact, while the difference for 2015, they thought they were evenly split between positive and negative. For 2016, they definitely have more people thinking there's a positive impact. And for 2017, a clear majority thought it would be a positive impact. Very few thought a negative impact. So I think the outlook is still optimistic, as we said at the beginning, but they've kind of had to push the optimism out, just as we've seen each year.
Yeah, that's, you're right. It seems to be a regular occurrence to push that optimism out. Now, one of the key areas, obviously, in our country and in the fiber of the work network in our company, and particularly in job creation, is construction, housing, etc. They made the forecast that they expected real resident spending on residential investment to increase 9.6%. But on top of that, they came right after that and said, well, looks like housing starts going to soften to 1.21 million units, down from 1.24. How does that work? I mean, how do you get increased spending on residential and fewer housing starts?
Well, the housing starts figure, again, that's one that I think economists, housing analysts have been disappointed in year after year. But the housing starts estimate is up by 100,000 from the actual that we had last year. So that does translate into more investment going into the residential sector. And then they see an even bigger pickup next year, going from 1.21 to 1.36 million starts. So that's more than a 12% increase expected next year. And that flows through, again, to a gain in residential investment and contributing to GDP.
Okay, well, let's hope that's good news then, because I know that housing is really, really important. The oil industry has had a tremendous impact on the country in terms of layoffs, but a lot of people are looking for housing to kind of make up for that. We're going to go into a break, but Kim, when we come back, you've got some interesting comments in your report about your expectations on interest rates. We'd like to talk about that. That's something that's on everybody's mind. So, folks, if you'll stay with us, we're pleased today to have Mr. Ken Simonson with us, Chief Economist for the Associated General Contractors of America and representing NABE. Stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money. We bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Back in a minute.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We have a great guest with us today. He's been on before. He represents NABE, the National Association for Business Economics. Those are folks that use economics in their business. They're spread all across the United States in all different industries. And his, as I said, his day job, he's chief economist for the Associated General Contractors of America. We have Mr. Day with us today, Mr. Kenneth Simonson. Mr. Simonson, before the break, I talked to you about interest rates, and I was wondering what the report, what your group felt about interest rates, because that seems to be on everybody's tongue all the time. If they're going to, are they going to go up? When they're going to go up? Well, you know, they're even betting. You know, it's really funny now because you know, it switches from day to day. How many, what percent of the folks think rates are going up in June, and what percent are not? And I was just wondering what the NABE folks, you probably don't play the games that Wall Street plays, but what are their thoughts on the interest rates?
A couple of things. As we had said at the beginning, the forecast for economic growth, real gross domestic product, or real GDP in economist speak, has been lowered three times in a row. Well, it's the same story with the forecast for interest rates, specifically the 10-year Treasury note yield. This panel of 48 economists who make regular detailed forecasts, they were surveyed in the first half of May, and their expectation now is that the end-of-year yield on that 10-year Treasury note will be just 2.25%. It's about 1.75% now. Haven't looked in the last 2 minutes, but it was somewhere in that range at the end of the week. And that forecast of going up just 0.5% is a good deal less than we saw when we surveyed them in March. They thought it would get to 2.5%, and back in December they thought it would be up around 2.875%. Similarly, for the federal funds target, they held with an expectation that that would finish the year somewhere between 0.75% and 1%. That was about what they were expecting in March, but it's certainly less than the expectation they held back in December when people thought there would be more increases in the federal funds rate over the course of the year. Most of the economists think that the Fed is going to stand pat this month and that they will raise rates a couple of times later this year.
Now, the last time they raised rates was in December, and there was a bunch of hoopla around that. And, of course, then they raised the rates. It wasn't significant. Everything settled down in a you know, month or two afterwards, and it didn't seem to have much impact on business. I know that that your clients with Associated General Contractors, they borrow a lot of money. Do you expect from your membership that these minimal rate increases, at least initially, will not have that big of an impact on their their way of doing business?
Generally, general contractors wait till somebody else has come up with the cash and calls them in to build whatever they want. So they're not directly affected except to the extent that they may need working capital because those owners are too darn slow in paying them for expenses they've already incurred. But the basic principle of somebody needing to go to the markets either for a bank loan or to issue a bond or other ways of raising capital, I would say no, there hasn't been much change in the availability of money. That's not really the constraint these days. Folks who really want to build something, they can get the money for it, but there's a lot of hesitancy about whether to go ahead with projects. Our members say that they are quite busy now, that they expect to have enough work to do. Their major concern is finding the workers to do it, whether it's skilled craftspeople like carpenters. Last fall, we surveyed our membership and got 1,300 responses about worker availability. Nearly all of the firms said they were having trouble filling one or another position. On the salaried side, it was project managers and supervisors who were hardest to find, followed by estimators. For 21 crafts, at least a quarter of the firms said that every one of those was a difficult position to fill. The hardest was carpenters. Almost three-quarters of the firms said they were having trouble finding carpenters, but it extended to concrete workers and electricians and plumbers and many other crafts.
How do we create, I mean, this is obviously, I think, a growing problem. It's a lot of the skilled people out there are, they're just simply not that available. I mean, as a consumer, when I try to find somebody to come and repair something in my house, it's very difficult. And sometimes I have to wait a long time because they're so backed up. Has the industry taken a look at this? Are there training schools? What can we do to encourage more people to get in that line of work?
Well, the industry did suffer the biggest and longest drop in employment of any sector from 2006 to 2011. And so that discouraged a lot of people from going into construction. A lot of the skilled ones left, got jobs elsewhere and haven't come back, or they retired or left the workforce altogether, maybe even left the country. In the last few years, there has been some revival of career and technical education programs at the high school and the community college level, but there still isn't enough public support for that or enough awareness on the part of parents and guidance counselors that this is a good way to direct kids, that not everyone should be going to college, and that if you go into construction, you can start making very good pay very early in your career, and there are plenty of advancement opportunities. It's not just dirty, hard outside work either. There are a lot of cool toys in construction these days, like GPS and laser-guided equipment, drones, even 3D printing.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. Not every kid should go to college. Lately, if you went to college, the better college you got just meant the better waitressing job you got afterwards.
And the higher debt. The higher debt you came out with. Yeah,
much higher debt. I wanted to ask this. I do want to ask one more question about the report. But one of the things that your industry is involved in is single-family housing, which has been a very robust sector here for the last several years. Does that look like it's continuing within your industry?
Yes, both the NABE survey found a steady increase in housing starts for this year and next year, and what we're seeing in other government statistics and other sentiment indexes, for instance, the National Association of Home Builders, their membership regularly has been saying that they do expect demand for homes to keep rising. The multifamily side has certainly done much better than the single family up until now. The amount of money being spent on apartment construction has been rising at about 25 to 35% a year versus 10% a year or less on single family. I think those percentages are going to even out over the next year or so, but demand will be positive still for both apartments and single-family homes.
Are there stronger parts of the country versus others?
Really, demand for multifamily has been strong just about everywhere.
Okay.
The overall market for construction has also been positive. We look every month at construction employment change by state. And from April of last year to April of this year, the latest figures we have, 42 states added construction jobs. Only 5 had a decrease.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Ken, thank you so much for being with us today.
We really
appreciate it. It's great information. It's always great to have you on. Hope you have a great summer, sir.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.